lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study in the New Testament now continues with the book of 1 Peter, and if I would title the first two chapters, I would give it a title of Elected Foreigners. Peter's epistles, like that of James, were written primarily to Jewish Christians of the dispersion, although it's evident that there were also Gentiles in the churches during this time. Well, let me ask you to open your Bible, if at all possible, and have it ready as we look through the Scriptures. I think it's very important that you follow along and read along, check up on me, and check up on anyone who is claiming to present the Word of God. Make sure they're doing that, presenting the Word, and that's the reason that we need to have a Bible open whenever we study the Word of God, if at all possible. Now, verses 1 and 2 of 1 Peter is to Christians in Asia Minor, and of course this would be modern-day Turkey. But Peter lets the Christians know that their election is according to God's foreknowledge, and this election has been made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ, obedience to the Word, and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. When verses 3 through 12 of 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter praises God for the living hope, incorruptible inheritance, and glorious salvation to be revealed at the coming of Christ for those who are in the churches. Despite severe, painful experiences, their sincere or real faith in these Christians, their real faith through the power of God, has protected them, and the result is indescribable joy. And their salvation was foretold by the prophets and preached in the gospel by those inspired by the Holy Spirit. Well, then we see in verses 13 through 25, because of salvation, Peter directs the people of God to act. And this would be their testimony, to act in the appropriate manner, showing that they are people of God. Now, the people of God should conduct themselves in holiness and fear, not only the people that Peter's writing to here, but to us as well. And we need to always remember that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That you and I today, we're to show this holiness. We're to have this holiness exhibited in our lives, as Peter was telling these people back then. Well, Peter goes on to say in these verses that Christians are to love one another fervently with pure hearts, and Christians have been born again by the incorruptible Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Well, let's look now at some of the things that lead up to our study, and we want to, by the way of introduction, say that the date of this epistle was around AD 67 or 68, and it was apparently during or just previous to some major persecution that was taking place. Well, the setting here is that this letter was written to Christians, both Jews in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, and Gentiles. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10 talks about that, and also in Asia Minor, evidently from Babylon, and you can read that in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13. We'll read that in just a moment. It was written to stimulate them, to give them a joyful hope in the face of coming persecution. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "Which in time past were not a people." Now, he's speaking to the Gentiles here about them. He says, "But are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." When 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son, And we see evidently this was written from Babylon at that time. Well, the author, of course, is Peter the Apostle. In verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is chapter 1, of course. It says there, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And these five Roman provinces that I just mentioned, the Bible mentions in verse 1 of 1 Peter 1. Of these five Roman provinces are now, as I've said before, modern-day Turkey. Well, what about the recipients of the letter? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, and I've already mentioned this, that it says there in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to strangers, to the strangers. These are pilgrims. In other words, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These were scattered people, dispersed. Well, verse 2, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Well, the elect is mentioned there, and notice it says the elect according to, not because of, it's the foreknowledge of God. God does not force anyone to do anything. Each person has a responsibility to act upon their own. God has given all of us a free will. God does not choose who's going to be saved and who's going to do this or who's going to do that. Now, he does call certain people for certain jobs within the Christian community, and of those people who have been saved, but nowhere does he force anyone to accept his Son as Savior. It says in that verse, again, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, elect, according to, not because of, the foreknowledge of God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, we read another verse, and we are elected for children of God for a certain purpose. It's the children of God who are elected, not those who are unsaved. Verse 20, let me say that again. It's the children of God who are elected, not those people who are unsaved. Now, verse 29 of Romans chapter 8 says this, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are to be conformed to the image of God's Son. In other words, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as we study His Word, and as we grow closer to the Lord through prayer and study, we become more and more like the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we become little Jesuses as such, in other words, little Christs. We are actually children of God who are being transformed daily as we study His Word, and one day the Bible says that we are going to be perfected, that we are going to be as such individuals that we have been made perfect at that time, and that time is coming when Jesus will come back. I believe in the clouds and say, come up hither and receive us. He's going to receive us unto Himself, or when we go to be with Him in death. Either way, we'll be with Him, and then we will be perfected. Well, I believe when a Christian passes from this life, they go immediately to be with the Lord. At that time, we become perfect. This body is done away with. This old sinful body is gone. And remember, the Bible tells us that, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, this body has to die. And after death, we know that comes eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. And the way to have that is because we've trusted Him as our Savior and we've received Him as Lord and Savior. Well, notice in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, the saved people are to be obedient to God, to do what God says. Peter tells the people of God how they are saved, and it says, by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. And I call to your attention Exodus chapter 24 and verse 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Well, all through the Bible, we read about the sprinkling of the blood. We see that without the shedding of blood is no remission. In other words, no remission of sin. Through the Bible, we see this. And that points, of course, to the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, let me read verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 1 again. It says, "Elect to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." You see, it's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are sanctified, that we are saved today. Now notice, and I might also add, we're saved forever through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, notice with me, if you would, and we're going to look with in verses 3 through 12 under this heading, Salvation in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." There are so many things in those verses that we could speak about. We could take the entire day, the week, we could spend a lot of time there. And there are so many blessings that we could look at and say, we're saved forever by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, and one day we're going to be resurrected. You see, we're going to be with Him. And this is eternal hope. This is eternal faith that we have in our Lord. This eternal blessedness of knowing that one day we're going to be with Him, and it's not going to fade away. Our life is going to go on after receiving Jesus Christ and Savior. It's going to go on forever. And the Bible talks about that living hope here in verses 3 through 5. I want you to know that God wants the saved to know what their future is and why, according to verses 3 through 4. It's a living hope because of God's abundance. In other words, it's more than enough mercy in verse 3. It's a living hope because Jesus has been raised. He's been resurrected from the dead, according to verse 3. As we look on, we see that there is no corruption. No corruption. It's a living hope because of a wonderful inheritance that is incapable of being corrupted, defiled, or that will gradually disappear. It's not going to gradually disappear. It's going to be forever, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. It's a living hope reserved, booked in advance in heaven. Well, who could improve upon that travel agent who has booked us in advance? And that travel agent is none other than God Himself, who said, "I give my Son that you could be assured that one day you are going to be with me in paradise. You are going to be with me in heaven." Remember what Christ told the thief on the cross. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." We have that knowledge of knowing that Jesus Christ gave His all, that we could receive all. And one day we're going to be with Him, and we're going to see Him as He is. And that's going to be a glorious time. Well, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, we're going to pick up there the next time. And I would say, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to ask Him to come into your heart today. There's no greater life than the Christian life. And you need to ask Jesus to save you. Be sincere with Him, and He'll be sincere with you, because it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He's sincerely waiting for you to call upon Him for salvation.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.